I'm Brandi Cruz, coming up today on Undivided. Somehow it's always my fault, even when it's not my fault. Plus, a local assistant principal says America has a white male problem. And national news outlets are painting Charlie Kirk's assassin as a love-struck young man. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at UndividedPod.com. That's UndividedPod.com. And click on the banner that says support the show. Hello and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. They're just trolling me at this point. They're just seeing when I snap, when I just give up. And by snap, I of course don't mean anything violent, but when I just give up and move to a deserted island somewhere and stop trying to fix things. I really do think the mainstream media is just testing me. So latest example of me being blamed for something that the left did that we simply covered, okay? So you'll recall on Monday, we did the news that the Kent Washington School District put out this statement about why it decided not to fly the flag at half staff in honor of Charlie Kirk, despite not only the president's order to do so, but also Governor Bob Ferguson's order to do so. And they put out this long statement. I won't read it again, but the offending part of it, really for anyone who understood why flags were being flown at half staff and the gravity of the moment. They said, as educators and public servants, we believe symbolic acts such as lowering the flag should reflect the principles we work to instill in our students and community. When a person has made public statements that conflict with the values of inclusivity and respect and student safety that we as a district strive to uphold, we may choose not to fly the flag at half staff. And look, we just shared their statement, and we shared that there were some parents who were upset about it. And as I shared, they keep using this word, our values. Our, but they clearly don't believe that Charlie Kirk, who is just a Christian conservative, who had fairly mainstream views for conservatives and Christians, they clearly are saying his values don't align with ours. His values don't align with ours, which I really felt like was definitely alienating a whole population of students and parents and families in the Kent School District, not to mention all of the tax-paying citizens who fund those public schools. So we do this story, and look, like, the Kent School District has a lot, I think, to explain. And whenever a story like this happens, right, there's going to be people who are upset. And there are probably going to be people who send unhinged emails to the school district demanding to know why they did this. Now, what do I always tell you guys? What do I always tell you guys when I tell you to reach out about something or make, I always say, do it politely. You know, send a polite email, make sure it's firm, and you're telling them how you feel, but, you know, don't threaten anybody. No violent language. However, whenever I point out something or cover something on the show that the left did wrong, what do they always do? Every single time without fail, the news media covers it, and they don't make it about the underlying issue in the story. They make it about how dare big bad Brandi and her fellow right-wing commentators shed light on this and cause people to get upset. And that's what happened here. So the Kent Reporter put out a story, flag-raising controversy strikes the Kent School District. Tensions rise after superintendent's decision not to keep flags at half staff for Charlie Kirk. So this is what they start the story with. They start the story by painting this sad tale of, and again, this is one of the oldest tricks in the book. It's like, oh, don't criticize us. I'm getting death threats. Stop criticizing me. I'm getting death threats. So this story starts with this spinning this sad tale about how people on the Kent School Board claim that they're being sent death threats over, you know, people's rightful concern about their decision not to fly the flag. It says a controversial decision by the Kent School District to keep flags raised rather than at half staff after the death of Charlie Kirk continues to cause turmoil within the district and beyond its borders. A district website posted about its decision, and that led to threats against a district website post about its decision even led to threats against Kent School Board members who weren't involved in the choice by Superintendent Israel Vela not to lower flags. Yesterday, my teenage child was sent a text about the controversy over flags in the Kent School District. School Board Director Donald Cook posted on Facebook, "This is beyond unacceptable. I kept my children home today out of an abundance of caution due to this." School Board Director Andy Song posted on Facebook about what he has gone through. "Thank you for those who checked on me today. Me and my family are safe." Song said he had received threats from people critical of the decision not to fly the flag at half staff. And then this, of course, is when they bring it all full circle. One Seattle area conservative news commentators, Brandy Cruz and Jason Rance, reposted the district statement on their Facebook pages. The controversy grew. It says Cruz hosts a podcast called Undivided. Jason Rance hosts the Jason Rance Show. This is what they do. Literally every time. I can think of so many instances where we do our job and we point out, and by the way, we're not the only ones who reported on this. Mainstream news outlets reported on the decision from the Kent School District not to fly flags at half staff for Charlie Kirk. Why isn't the Kent Reporter blaming them? Why isn't the Kent Reporter saying, oh, King 5 News reported on this, that made things much worse. The Seattle Times reported on this, that made things much worse. No, you have to literally have to find a way to blame it on conservatives. Something the left clearly did wrong. They're the only ones to blame. In this case, they made a really bad decision at a really hard time for a lot of people. And somehow they got to spin it and say, okay, but how can we blame it on conservatives and still make conservatives look like the hateful ones? There's been so many examples of this. Remember when there was out on the peninsula, there was this teacher who had this weird drag persona that was like a vulgar Jack King. Thank you. Jack King off. And it was a public drag persona. And parents were really concerned about it. And the pictures of this person and their drag were circulating online at the school. We just reported on their conduct. Remember what Cairo 7 Eyewitness News did? They go out and interview this poor teacher, Jack King Goff, about, oh my God, what was it like to be on harassed by Brandy Cruz? It was like, oh my God, why don't you ask Jack King Goff whether it's appropriate to be a high school teacher and have such a persona with all these sexual, like, it was like hide your daughters from Jack King Goff, all this stuff. No, it was about, okay, you had this teacher doing this very questionable activity on the side. And instead of as a news organization saying, this is the public employee who's teaching other people's kids, let's really question them about it. No, it was Brandy Cruz's evil for pointing this out. And what did the drag performer say? They were getting threats. Oh my gosh. Now it's like, Brandy, you are so mean. And by the way, whenever this happens, I highly doubt they get death threats. I think it's just made up. The Seattle City Council and Sean Masawant used to do this all the time. We're getting death threats. Stop being critical of us. And that's their tool, right? They think if they can paint themselves as sympathetic, no matter how bad something that they've done is, no matter how wrong, no matter how worthy of condemnation or attention, if they just say, well, I'm getting death threats now from the right, I think it's totally made up. Could be wrong, but I think it's totally made up. And it's a way to distance themselves from any sort of criticality about whatever the issue might be. More recently, and this allows me to do a nice little update on this story. More recently, remember the Paco story, the Paco debacle, where there was a guy allegedly named Paco who was kidnapped off the streets by ICE. And he was just this like innocent farmer. And there was a story done in the Olympian on him. And this GoFundMe fundraiser raised a bunch of money for him. And we pointed out that Paco wasn't Paco at all. His name was Youssef Zarate Bourbon, and he was a Mexican national wanted for murder. And then the Olympian, instead of just doing a story acknowledging the error in its original reporting, what did they do? They made it about how me, by highlighting the truth, was causing the woman who raised money for Paco to have to delete her social media presence. And it said the blowback got so bad, she turned to a civil rights organization for assistance. So every time. And then remember, because it's a good update, where they quoted this civil rights organization, the last thing in this entire story. Not, oh, hey, and we're sorry for spreading a false story about Paco. Glad Brandy did our job for us. No, it was this civil rights organization using all of this as a way to accuse me of being a bigot, saying the influencers targeting these individuals are constantly in need of a new person to point at, whether that's a local leader standing up for their LGBTQ constituents, an activist speaking frankly about racism, or a small business owner setting up a fundraiser for a neighbor who's been taken by ICE. And I just looked at that and I thought, and remember at the time I was like, well, we got to talk to our lawyers about this, because all we did was tell the truth. And now the Olympian, because it wants to distract from their failed reporting and distract from the fact that they pushed a false story to make ICE look bad. He wasn't even arrested by ICE, by the way. He was arrested by the U.S. Marshals and Homeland Security investigations. So they're like, well, we have to cover ourselves. So how can we blame it on the conservative? How can we blame it on the right-wing podcaster? And so they used it as an opportunity to allow some weird Antifa-affiliated civil rights organization in Portland paint me as a racist, bigot, homophobe. I don't know what that had to do with the Paco situation. I will say, just because this happens all the time, and when the Paco thing happened, I was like, I'm so sick of letting them get away with it. Every single time, it's about Brandy's evil. Let's just ignore the story that Brandy was talking about. Brandy's evil for pointing it out. And so we, you know, had our attorney send a cease and desist, and they deleted it. They didn't delete the article, but they deleted really the worst parts of the article that somehow painted me as a bigot without using my name, but everybody knew who they were talking about. So that's a good development, right? At least they took it down and we didn't have to sue them, because we were certainly planning on it. But yeah, it's just, and this is, I think, about one of the reasons why conservatives get so frustrated. And, you know, we talked a lot about, with the Charlie Kirk assassination, this both sidesism. Oh, well, you do it too, or whatever it is. Like, conservatives are always painted as the bad guy. It doesn't matter when. Even Jimmy Kimmel over the weekend did this whole thing about how, oh, conservatives are trying to paint Charlie Kirk's assassin as not one of them. Long after it was very clear that this was someone who had been indoctrinated in far left ideology. It's just, no matter what it is, they have to make it about conservatives bad, even if it's something they did on their side that has no excuse in the world and that they should own or condemn, or in the case of the Kent School District, acknowledge, you know, maybe we should have made a different decision. Maybe this was alienating some of our families in our school district. No, how dare Brandy point out something we did wrong? It's just growing frustration over how this is handled. Meanwhile, you know, I'm painted as the villain in the news for just pointing out simple truths and things that happen from a different perspective. And the media simultaneously ignores things like this. Let me introduce you to Logic Amen. Is it Logic Amen? Logic Amen, is that a real name? I don't know. Apparently, that's his name on the Lincoln High School website. He's the assistant principal at Lincoln High School. So I guess he's the principal that's like specifically for grades 11 and 12, but he's an assistant principal. Logic Amen. Well, he's had a lot to say about Charlie Kirk's assassination over the last week, including this. America has a white male problem. America has a white male problem. A black assistant principal for Lincoln High School takes to his social media and says, America has a white male problem. And then one of his friends commented, don't let moms, wives, and the majority of teachers off the hook. To which he responded, indeed, white women either don't have the power and or interest to change the problem they are birthing. He goes on to say, the irony of both Charlie Kirk and George Floyd being killed by white men. Because he had to distract again. Have to distract from the fact that it was somebody indoctrinated in leftist ideology. So what else can you focus on that will, you know, try to excuse it or make it seem not like your side? Well, he's white. Well, he's white. So it's a white male problem. I think this is the craziest thing we've seen from any educator on the Charlie Kirk situation. And he's not in here celebrating, to the best of my knowledge, I haven't seen it, celebrating the assassination. I know we've seen some pretty horrific posts. But the reason I say this is the worst thing that we've seen from any educator is, one, it's blatant racism. And two, it basically is an admission that this black man, who's supposed to be really caring for kids when they come to school, doesn't care, thinks that the white kids who come to his school and the white boys who come to his school are inherently problematic. Imagine being a white parent sending a white student to Lincoln High School. It's Tacoma, right? Tacoma, yeah. There's two, so I want to make sure I have the right one. Sending your child to Lincoln High School, knowing the assistant principal thinks America has a white male problem and that white women aren't interested in changing the problem they are birthing. That's scary stuff. Talk about division. Talk about rhetoric. That is terrifying stuff. How many mainstream media outlets of the big five in Seattle do you think will cover it? We'll check in tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If all five of the big outlets have not covered it, that's insane. Because what if we had a white assistant principal who posted on social media, America has a black male problem? They'd be fired instantly. Instantly. Wouldn't even be a question. Every single news outlet would lead with it on the evening news, and the Seattle Times would have it on the front page. Not even a question. That would be horrific. But when you're black, it's okay. When you're talking about white people, nah, it's okay. Can't be racist toward white people, right? So yeah, Tacoma has a lot of students of color, but we're in Washington State. We're a pretty white state. I don't know how any white parent, white mother specifically, sends their white child to the Tacoma School District this morning. I have no idea. It's one of the most horrific things I've seen a teacher and an educator say. We reached out to the Tacoma School District and to Lincoln High School, and we had a couple simple questions for them. One, what would you say to parents who have white sons who go to your district? And then the other, what would the school district do if this was a white teacher who posted, America has a black male problem? Now, as is often the case, when we see an educator say something so crazy that it warrants us talking about it, or teaching something so crazy that it warrants us talking about it, it's usually not the first time they've done something that any reasonable person could see as a reason to fire them, right? So we saw, and a couple people were alerting us to this, because this got shared by libs of TikTok, not a surprise, so it's all over the place. Oh, and I'm sure, by the way, before we even get to it, what do you think, if all the mainstream outlets cover it, that the story will be tomorrow? Oh, educator facing death threats after libs of TikTok shared his personal social media post. 100%. Bank it. Mark this. It'll be true. Might not be tomorrow, but the next day. At some point, that's the narrative they're going to pick up when they realize we got to blame conservatives. Somehow, do we blame conservatives for this horrible post? But here's what's crazy. Now, the mainstream news in 2018 did do a story on this logic, amen. Here's the story from May of 2018 from the Tacoma News Tribune. Tacoma assistant principal raps about shooting up a high school. Is that okay? Hold on a second. What do you mean, is that okay? Again, do you think for one second, if this had been a white teacher who had a rap, you know, like to rap on the side, and they wrote a song about shooting up a high school, do you really think the Tacoma News Tribune would do an article titled, "This Assistant Principal Raps About Shooting Up a High School, Is That Okay?"
Or if it was a student?
Oh my God, never in a million years. Mm-hmm. But this guy's black, and so we allow special privileges in the name of equity and anti-racism.
It's art.
And they can't, wait, they can't just, oh my God, you guys, oh my God. They can't just say, Tacoma assistant principal rapped about shooting up a high school. No, they have to couch it in all these questions. And so the first line, in an era of school shootings, is it okay for a principal to rap about shooting up a high school? Question mark. They would never do that under any other circumstance, but they have to couch it in a question as if we're leaving it up to you to decide. It's wild. It says, the question arises from the after-hours work of Logic Amen, the assistant principal of Tacoma's Lincoln High School, who moonlights as a rapper. He says his songs, including those using the persona of a troubled student threatening a massacre at his high school, are part of his artistic expression. So the track in question is titled Cancel Christmas. And the lyrics are as follows. Give me a reason just to load up a rifle. Pull the fire alarm in the lobby of my high school. Leave the halls bloody like a high noon tycoon. I'm about to cancel Christmas. I won't leave a freaking witness. Nah, I put Santa on my hit list. Celebrate Kwanzaa and cancel all Christmas. And just for good measure, here is that part of his song as performed by him.
Yep. Give me a reason just to load up a rifle. Put the fire alarm in the lobby of my high school. Yep. Leave the halls bloody like a high noon typhoon. I'm about to cancel Christmas. Yep. I won't leave a freaking witness. Nope. Nah, I'm put Santa on my hit list.
The things you can get away with in this state if you're black is insane. A white teacher would be fired instantly. They might even be arrested for threats of violence. That's insane. Now, to be clear, again, I support free speech. We talked about this on the show yesterday. I think that, yes, artists and rappers can say all sorts of things and do in their music. But I also said, of all the people out there saying horrific things about Charlie Kirk, there has to be a line when it comes to public school teachers and educators and staff who are around other people's kids all day long. There has to be some sort of standard there, and you can't just chalk it up to, well, that's what they do on their free time. Because if you had a white teacher who on their free time went down the street into the woods, lit a cross on fire, and donned a KKK hood, then you wouldn't be saying the same thing, right? I would hope not. Like, oh, they're just KKK on their free time. No, but when it's educators like so many that we've highlighted in the Olympia School District who are these woke, white, nonsense lunatics, and they're pushing leftist ideology, well, that's fine, you know? He held up a sign that said, this teacher kills fascists, but it was on his free time, right? It was on his personal social media. No big deal. No big deal. And then, of course, if you're black, you have an extra layer of cover because in the name of equity and anti-racism, basically, they can say anything they want because, you know, 100 years ago or so, we enslaved black people in this country. So now they can put out a rap explaining in detail a school shooting and a massacre and canceling Christmas by killing all the Christian kids so they would instead have to just celebrate Kwanzaa. You guys, this is nuts. If this guy has a job tomorrow, that is worth protesting. I don't call for protest often because I don't want to be responsible for what people do at a protest. But parents of Tacoma, that is nutty. That's dangerous. And then, of course, Tacoma is a blue city. And up and down, and they want to take away our Second Amendment rights because school shootings and all of this stuff. You've got an assistant principal rapping about shooting up a school. Saying that America has a white male problem and that white women don't want to change the problem they're birthing. How could every Tacoma parent not be banging down the doors of the district today demanding that Logic Amen be fired? And how was he not fired after the rap in 2018? There has to be a line for educators. And I mean, I suppose it's not a surprise because again, this is what happens. It all goes back to, two things. But it's all the result of one party rule. We have no meaningful dissent in the state. We have one party in charge of everything. And whatever they deem acceptable can continue. So they've deemed this acceptable. Their friends in the teachers union, their donors and cronies and allies in the teachers union deem this acceptable. It's okay to be racist against white people. It's okay to push leftist ideology on kids. And then the news media, which is the ultimate culprit for everything, covers all these stories by somehow, again, trying to find a way to blame conservative voices which represent a very clear minority in the state of Washington and which often have nothing to do with it at all. How are you going to blame this? And when they can't find a line, a nexus to be able to blame conservatives, they dig deep and just say, oh, conservatives are talking about it, death threats. People are now giving him death threats. Now this guy's getting death threats. Now he's worried about his family. It's really mental. It is like 2 + 2 = 5 stuff that they want us to just buy into and believe and be okay with. It is the path towards totalitarianism. We're supposed to not believe or not say that what we see and what we read is happening and that it's bad. No, it's fine. He's black. This is nutty, nutty, dangerous stuff. And Nicole, no response yet from the Tacoma School District.
No response.
Wow. Oh my gosh. And I think we sent that at a pretty reasonable time yesterday. And this is all over because of libs of TikTok. But we'll follow back up tomorrow on the show about how the Big Five in Seattle, King, Cairo, Como, Fox 13 in the Seattle Times, how they cover this, if at all. And let's find the ways in which they blame conservatives for this. And by the way, just so logic amen, we can school him on this a little bit when he says America has a white male problem. Black males account for a far disproportionate amount of crime. It's not even close. Not even close. So if you want to play this game, America has a black male problem. If you want to just paint broad brushstrokes, which of course I'm vehemently opposed to on the show. And what did I do last week? You know, I've been calling out conservatives who, after the murder of the Ukrainian refugee, they say that it's an issue of race. It's a black man who killed a white woman. It's not race. To call it an issue of race is to suggest that your skin pigmentation dictates your behavior. No, it's not an issue of race. There might be a cultural element of it, but that would suggest that literally anyone with a certain skin pigmentation is susceptible to violent behavior. No, they're a product of their circumstances. It's the same reason why, like, a couple months ago, you had this white dude brutally punching a woman after a country music concert who wronged him. That's a culture issue. He's a product of his circumstances, and he's a piece of trash. So both sides want to, and I don't want to both sides in this instance, but blaming something on skin pigmentation is asinine, and it's completely contrary to what we fight against, this idea of identitarianism, where immutable characteristics dictate like how you act and how you behave. And so in this case, you know, he is painting with a broad brushstroke that, oh, white, your skin pigmentation and white is a problem. That's the problem in America. White men. And then when the conservatives say we have a problem with black men and crime, they're doing the same thing. You're not assessing, because it's easy, right? That's easy. For talking heads and this guy, that's the easy thing to do, is let's just chalk it up to skin pigmentation and not talk about the complex background, life experiences, what's happening societally. Nobody wants to do that because it's not nuanced. But this is nuts. If he's not fired by tomorrow, what do we do then? It's the craziest. Do you not agree, Nicole? Out of all the stories we have done, and we focus on educators weekly, we did a whole segment, Operation Indoctrination. I think there's maybe one more severe case, or that's equal, it's just so different, yeah, involving an educator. And it would have been the Tacoma teacher who essentially was trying to trans a small child, yeah, and tell her don't communicate with your mom, delete these messages. And the parents who were from India took their kid and literally mm-hmm. left the country.
Left the country. Mm-hmm.
This is bad, but for a different reason.
Yeah, although this has just been made okay. Like this, I mean, like we saw in 2018, he was told this type of behavior is okay and he can get away with it.
Right.
And like you mentioned, this is a distraction. This is we don't want to say it's a left, so what else can we say? Like, I can get away with saying this, so this is what I'm going to say it is. So you know, is it the worst? I don't know. Some of these people celebrating the death of anybody, it's pretty evil. And this, I think, is more manipulative. Now, do I think this person should be around children and in a education, in the educational atmosphere at all? No, absolutely not. But I mean, we're seeing a lot of evil. This is really exposing people for their true 100%. Hearts and souls.
Yeah, and I agree. There's a lot of it out there. But this mm-hmm. is so just bare. It's like, you know, it's not even, and I get it, so I'm celebrating the death of one person who I didn't like. This is vilifying an entire swath of human beings based on, it's just racism, right?
Right.
And, you know, after just writing a rap song about wanting to shoot up a high school so you could celebrate Kwanzaa, not Christmas, this is someone who clearly has deep-seated hate and vitriol toward white people in a state that is majority white. This is scary stuff. The Tacoma School District needs to act, and it needs to act quickly. And we'll talk more about it in comments.
I think they need to look at it differently. Like, that's the problem that we have right now, is people are just excusing things like this and not looking at it like you are looking at
it. Like if it was a white teacher that said, we have a problem with
the
black
angle,
or they'd be fired.
Or no, like just the way you're looking at it, saying like, this person thinks this about all white males.
Right.
He's saying, let's just look at it. People are like, oh yeah, maybe that's true. Like these two white guys like shot this guy, or just, you know, they're simplifying this bigger message that he is trying to.
He hates white people.
Yeah, he is trying to give people. Crazy. Trying to seed in the minds of young people.
It's nuts. It's nuts. We'll talk more about that in comments. I'm sure you guys have a lot to say about it. All right, so Nicole put this next story in the show sheet, and she doesn't know this, but she put it in there, and she had a little note. You know, she'll write some notes for me about stories, and she wrote, you know, I think we should celebrate some schools who are doing the right thing. Little does she know, I actually don't agree with this. Isn't that a nice surprise? So the Lyndon Washington School District is going to vote tomorrow on a resolution to create essentially a Charlie Kirk Day that they would recognize every year. I think that's a horrible idea. I'll explain in a moment, but I think their underlying reasons are very sound. So it's Resolution 1325, opposition to political violence and institution of Charles James Kirk Day and support for student debate clubs. Whereas the Lyndon School Board believes that it is important for students to have conversations around difficult topics, especially with people of differing views. Whereas respectful dialogue is a cornerstone of a healthy democratic society, and schools play a vital role in teaching students how to engage in civil discourse. Whereas the development of critical thinking, active listening, public speaking, evidence-based reasoning skills, blah, 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 is essential. I agree with all this. I think this is awesome. Whereas participation in debate provides students with opportunities to explore diverse perspectives. Whereas the inclusion of debate clubs can enhance student engagement. We believe debate clubs should continue to be recognized and supported as part of the Lyndon School District's co-curricular offerings and potentially be integrated into curriculum. And so they're going to vote on whether to establish September 10th every year, set it aside as Charles James Kirk Day within the Lyndon School District. So to be clear, I think all of those things are great. And I would absolutely support a resolution that would be, you know, in opposition to political violence and in support of student debate clubs. I think that would be great. And I think it would be great for them to talk about the fact that, you know, in light of Charlie Kirk's assassination, we want to help continue this idea that we can all try to come together, debate our issues without resorting to violence. I don't agree with assigning it as a Charlie Kirk Day. And I know that there are going to be some people who disagree with me on that. And here's one of the reasons why. He is a political figure at the end of the day. He was a political figure with a very strong point of view, as most political figures have. And I certainly wouldn't want school districts to start to create days for all measure of political Seattle Public Schools. Why not create a Shama Sawant Day or whatever it is? I don't think that we should get in the practice.
For her views.
I realize that. I'm just saying that if there are in the future people who are killed for their political views or who if they don't even maybe that's not the barometer. Maybe they just decide like, hey,
we
like the work that this person is doing and we want to create a political day for them. What if they'll create all sorts of nutso political days?
Yeah, but we have a MLK Day. We have a Lincoln
Day. I understand
day.
That.
We have all sorts of political holidays that for different sides of the aisle.
But should we?
Well, that again, they are all people that were killed for their political beliefs.
Now, if they use this, don't you think the left will use this as a reason to create political days for their favorite martyrs?
We do have...
Not a Karl Marx Day. Oh, let's do a Karl Marx Day. I mean, literally, they all traffic in Marxism. You would put it past a Seattle Public School district.
The whole school board would have to vote it.
And in Seattle,
the people that they assigned as school board members all voted it in, okay.
I mean, what about a President Donald Trump Day?
If the school board they voted in, absolutely.
We cover stories all the time.
We have President's Days.
Opposing things that school boards do. if the goal of this, just follow me here.
It's unnecessary.
If the goal is great. I mean, one of the reasons why I think I've succeeded in my professional career is doing speech and debate in school. And it was very important for me and for my development. And I knew I wanted to do the news and all of these things. So I'm 100% for this. And I think the idea that we'll instill in schools mm-hmm. and foster these debate clubs and all of this is great. But I think you're going to undermine that if you call it Charlie Kirk Day. Because yeah, I think there's going to be students who won't want to participate because it's called Charlie Kirk Day.
Well, then they should get up and argue that point.
They won't, though.
No, but that's the point of it.
The only students who are going to participate in Charlie Kirk Day, if you call it Charlie Kirk Day, are students of conservative families. You think one liberal family? You think one liberal family in the Linden School District will allow their child to participate in Charlie Kirk Day every September 10th from here on out?
Well, I don't. I'm not really sure what this whole day is going to consist of. So, but yeah, I actually think that if you disagree with it, that gives you even more reason to participate. And that's the whole idea, right? Like that's what Charlie asks is people that disagree with me come and participate.
Yeah.
And that's the point of it is to bring those people in. Right. So, I understand your perspective. Yeah. However, again, it's just like the lowering of the flag. I have a little different perspective on it. You know, when the city's mayor decides mm-hmm. not to lower the flag because that's who they voted that made that decision, as the when a principal decides because, maybe the board appointed the principal, but that's not everybody's decision. That person works for us. So that should go with the state's decision. And he should lower the flag. So I kind of like I assigned it different values or different roles, I guess. And in this case, if the school board decides like, yes, we just, you know, we're elected.
Yeah.
And we've decided like we can do this event and the children can choose or not choose to participate. Mm-hmm.
They could also choose to vote for a drag queen story time.
And
you
even
know?
If they disagree, they can choose. I mean, that opens discussion up, right? And that's the whole point of the day.
I understand. My fundamental argument is if you want to actually foster something productive where children do learn the value of debate and open dialogue, I don't believe calling it Charlie Kirk Day will actually encourage more people to participate in it. And maybe starting a slippery slope.
But I guess we'll see what they vote.
I'm curious what you guys have to say about this.
I am curious.
Disagree on this one. But yeah, they're going to take the vote tomorrow.
I would say that, I mean, although Linden is a very conservative, but they've also had this girls and boys sports kind of back and forth. And so there's definitely some liberal people up there. So, I mean, I'm sure we will hear some back and forth about it.
Yeah. And just because a couple school board members are putting this resolution forth doesn't mean it's going to pass. But I would say just strip Charlie Kirk out of it. You can say in the whereas that it's in light of his assassination. You know, you can write it mm-hmm. in there and say we need to get back to talking to one another. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we're going to call it, you know, healthy debate day or something, you know, whatever it is. Anyway, okay, we'll talk more about that in comments. Nicole, thank you. Healthy debate day is not the best name. You can think of something better.
They'll sign right up for that.
Healthy debate day. I don't know. All right, coming up next, a notorious Judge Veronica Galvin in King County strikes again, and this one's fascinating. She is very known for her soft on crime, low bail, but she had a pickle in this instance. It was young black kids and a transgender victim. Oh my gosh, what does the woke judge do? Who does the woke judge side with? It's a quandary, really. First, if you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones, sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. Wes and his team have an innovative marketing strategy. Their listings and the way they put them together, the combination of photo, video, immersive tours, it all does one thing. It helps your home stand out. And you need to make sure your home stands out on the market to get the most possible foot traffic in the door. And that's how you get those offers on the table. And the competition, that's what we all want when we go to sell our home. And Wes also is just great at analyzing the market and kind of giving you a good, you know, he's always going to be honest with you about, hey, here's what the market's doing. Here's setting your expectations. Here's what I think we can get for your home. Here's where we need to list it, the strategy involved in that. And he's going to make sure that you're part of the process every step of the way. So reach out to our friend Wes Jones, sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com simply is just a better way to sell your home. All right. Judge Veronica Galvin strikes again. This time, I can't even characterize. This is the oddest bail decision I think I've seen her make so far. So let's just talk about it in Unbelievable. Okay, a little reminder of who Judge Veronica Galvin is. You know, the soft on crime activist judges, they've been talked a lot about locally and nationally. It's something President Donald Trump has talked quite a bit about. And Judge Galvin might be one of the worst offenders in the nation. And she knows that she's been criticized for it. She's spoken out for being criticized for it, and she clearly does not care. She is, in my mind, in favor of dismantling our current criminal justice system, yet she sits atop it as a King County judge. So a couple of the cases, she released a 12-year-old who was accused of using a ghost gun in a Seattle carjacking. Let's see. She let out of jail a guy who attacked and fractured a singer at the El Corazon's skull. That was quite a high profile case. Yeah, can fracture someone's skull. And, oh, you know, don't worry. Don't worry about bail. No big deal. Remember the story of the teens who brought modified guns to the Chinatown Seafair Parade, and then she released them to electronic home monitoring. That was a pretty significant case as well. Here is the latest case. And this is quite, again, a quandary for a progressive activist judge. From Fox 13, two teens arrested in possible hate crime assault on Washington transgender woman. Okay? Says two teenage boys are in juvenile detention and two others are being sought after allegedly attacking a transgender woman, Nikki Armstrong, in Renton, making homophobic comments during the assault. Armstrong was seriously injured and hospitalized following the attack, which occurred after an earlier argument with the teens near the Renton Transit Center. So, I mean, in anywhere, anytime, regardless of what your gender identity is, being brutally attacked within an inch of your life is a horrific thing. And the people who perpetrated that attack should get a very, very high bail. If you're willing to randomly beat someone senseless on the streets, that's bad enough. And then it's very clear that, according to the police report and the statements that were made, that this was about Nikki Armstrong's gender identity. And we're in a state that, I mean, has a hate crime hotline, that has a domestic extremism task force that talks about attacks on transgender people and members of the LGBTQ community. So here we have a situation where if you're looking at just the attack through the lens of, you know, progressive, oh my gosh, you'd want the book, right, thrown at the person. Well, unless the suspects wind up in front of Judge Veronica Galvin, who has made it known that when it comes to violent young offenders, especially young offenders of color, she thinks the system has put them in that place, and she's essentially not interested in punishing them. So this is from our friend David Rose over at Fox 13, published a close-up image of the very severe injuries that Nikki Armstrong suffered. He said, King County Judge Veronica Galvin released both teen brothers today on electronic home monitoring with, quote, passes for pro-social activities. So they allegedly beat this person so severely, left them black and blue, these two brothers. So clearly they're brothers in crime, literal partners in crime. And this judge released them to electronic home monitoring, and they get passes to leave the house for pro-social activities. What is a pro-social activity? I mean, go to church? You think they're going to church? What honestly is a pro-social activity where you can guarantee me the safety of others? But go down to the basketball courts? You don't think they can get a fight down there? go to a school game or something? You don't think that they can get in a fight there? You don't think they can hurt people there? I mean, that is honestly, that is insane. And I can just imagine the mental gymnastics that Judge Veronica Galvin was going through. Oh my gosh, I don't think teens should be held accountable for the crimes that they commit, but then I've got a transgender victim. Can you imagine? Again, I'll go there. Yes, I'll put out a hypothetical. Can you imagine if this was like some white conservative who beat this transgender person that badly? You think that they'd be released on electronic home monitoring and given a pass for pro-social activities? Not a chance in hell. What if it was a teenager, a white teenager wearing a MAGA hat who beat a transgender person this badly and yelled homophobic slurs? The governor would have said something about it. The mayor would have said something about it. There would have been press conferences. And this person, even if it's teen, would be sitting in jail on $1 million bail. And they'd be trying to find a way to charge them as an adult. That's just the truth. That's the truth. Absolutely outrageous. And just so you can hear from her own lips why she thinks this way. And I thought this was an interesting clip to play because a lot of her past decisions have had to do with teens and guns. And we live in this state where we're supposed to take gun violence really seriously, right? Like, oh my gosh, we want to, you know, we're going to restrict people's Second Amendment rights. And we take gun crimes very seriously. But when it comes to her, even when you have these kids like bringing loaded guns to a parade in Chinatown. And I think I said at the time, can you imagine if that had been a right winger who brought, you know, came armed to a parade in the Chinatown International District, how different this story would be? I said it at the time because it's true. So it's interesting. You got this progressive, like they hate guns, but she goes easy on teens who commit crimes with guns. Here's what she said on the Chino y Chicano podcast about that. This is like several years ago.
None of the systems, none of us have clean hands within this context because these children are accessing these weapons from adults. They're not going into stores and buying them from adults who may not be responsible and have them locked up or have them safely to the side. I mean, we see grown people, get upset that somebody cut them off in a vehicle and start shooting. Grown people. And yet we have a higher standard and expectation for a 12-year-old. It's like putting a 2-year-old behind the wheel of a car and expecting that they're not going to hit anything. We have to take responsibility somewhat that we have created an environment in which these weapons are glorified. They are considered something of a thing to have to be cool or whatever. But this is on us as well. These children did not come into this world, with a machine gun in their hand.
Okay. So, a lot to say about that, but what about this case? You're saying, I can't hold them accountable for these guns because they got the guns from somewhere, likely from adults. What about this case? They didn't need guns to beat Nikki so hard, stomp her head, stomp her face, break her nose, break her eye socket. She's going to need reconstructive surgery. Didn't need a gun to do that. And you still let him home on electronic home monitoring. So whose fault is that? Well, it's not the gun. You can't blame a gun for that one. And there's some other just horrific details in this that David Rose reported. So there's really 14 suspects in this. Renton police arrested the two of them that are brothers. They're searching for the others. And there were multiple teens who stood around and watched, Renton police said. And oh, by the way, the suspects are Renton High School students. Probably taught by their teachers that, because the color of your skin, you can do no wrong. Everything's fine, no big deal. Like, nothing is your fault. As the victim told police, she'd argued with a group of young males earlier in the evening. When she saw them again, they chased her, knocked her to the ground, repeatedly assaulted her. During the assault, the victim says the suspects made homophobic remarks to her. She suffered serious injuries, was taken to the hospital. And prosecutors have been referred charges for assault 2, strangulation, assault 2, great bodily harm, and a hate crime. So what is your excuse then, Judge Galvin? You just don't want to hold people accountable for crime. And I'll say, you know, in her comments there about teens and guns, I agree. That's fundamentally a failure with adults. 110%. And we have to talk about those things, right? But just because it's a failure of adults, be it their parents or their systems or the schools that teach them that, woe is you, the system is all designed to hold you down and you can never do better, so don't even try. That doesn't mean, even if it's, you know, ultimately falls on adults, it doesn't mean they're not dangerous. That doesn't mean, it doesn't negate what they did. It doesn't mean that in this moment they don't present a danger to the community. Yet you just keep releasing them out onto the streets. We've done stories in Thurston County where they've got juveniles who steal cars 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times, same juveniles. And they do it because the judge just keeps letting them go. Well, don't worry about it. Head home to mom and dad. No big deal. No big deal. And we wonder why we're in a juvenile crime crisis. We wonder why juvenile crime is spiking so severely. And yes, you can blame it on, you know, social media and all of these antisocial behaviors, can't form interpersonal relationships, all of those things, adults, what's happening at the home. But also the criminal justice system has a lot to do with that in places like Washington State as well. Really disgusting. But I guess now we know on the hierarchy for progressives, where transgender people and, you know, youth criminals of color fall, right? So obviously transgender people, just so you know where you're at. On the hierarchy for progressives, you're below them. So just ridiculous. All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk about tariffs and what's happening with small businesses. But also, I think more importantly, as we all agree, the massive new taxes that are about to hit small businesses in Washington State in a matter of weeks. First, if you are feeling the stretch of maybe the increased gas prices, increased taxes, and you got to save money somewhere in your life, somewhere in your family's budget, take a look at your insurance, or rather have First Mark Insurance. Take a look at your insurance for you. Take the First Mark challenge like I did, like so many other Undivided viewers and listeners have, and they're going to handle it all for you. I mean, they're going to talk you through the process, go over your current insurance, your insurance needs, then they go out for free, shop the market for you, come back with their recommendations, and we hear from Undivided viewers and listeners on a weekly basis. Brandy, why did I wait so long? Why did I wait so long to do this? I'm now saving thousands of dollars a year. Thank you for recommending First Mark Insurance. I'm now a member of the First Mark family. And look, I love getting those emails, but I would love if you didn't wait and you saved money now. So you could save hundreds of dollars a month right away. And you don't have to wait, by the way, until your current insurance is about to expire. Because what happens is those of you who've changed insurance knows, and this is the case for Mike and I, we changed ours mid-year and then they refund you for the difference, essentially. So you can do it at any point. So firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. All right. How bad are things going to be for businesses in Washington State this time next year? I think time will tell. But as you guys know, Washington State and Governor Bob Ferguson passed the largest package of tax increases in state history into law earlier this year, this past legislative session. And the bulk of those are going to take effect October 1st. And they're going to hit businesses hard. At a time when businesses in our state have already been struggling, the cost of doing business here is very high. And then, yes, like the tariff situation, and I've said a million times, we can talk about tariffs. I'm perfectly fine having a conversation about tariffs and the impact those have on businesses. What I'm not fine with is the hypocrisy. You guys know, I'll play a short clip. Bob Ferguson last week had this press conference. Oh my God, tariffs are going to cost Washingtonians $2 billion. After he just signed $9.5 billion in new taxes. Here he is.
No matter how much the president wants us to believe that foreign countries bear the cost of these tariffs, that's simply not true. Multiple studies make clear that the actual costs are passed on to you, consumers in Washington State.
Yeah, okay. And again, fine. I don't know if his $2 billion figure is accurate or not, but it pales in comparison to $9.5 billion in taxes. It pales into comparison the fact that right now Washington State, I haven't checked this morning, I guess, but yesterday, Washington State had the highest gas prices in the nation, and they're only going higher at a time when gas prices in the rest of the country are looking pretty damn good. Our gas prices are 47% higher than the national average. But he doesn't want to talk about any of those things. And Lord knows, you know, the media doesn't want to ask him about any of those things. Although, you know, there was a reporter in the room who kind of asked, well, what about all your taxes that you just passed? So on Sundays with Subscribers a couple days ago, we were joined by Patrick Connor. He is the Washington State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. And he's very concerned. You know, we had this conversation about tariffs versus taxes. You know, essentially, what is hurting small businesses more? Here's part of our interview. Anytime there's any sort of increase in cost, right, we have a certain number of businesses that cannot shoulder it and they simply cannot survive. So how long do you think before we have a full understanding of what these taxes will do to some of these small businesses?
Well, I think that we will start to see some effects 6 to 12 months out. In fact, it's interesting you mentioned that. There was a report that came out from Intuit QuickBooks at the end of 2024 that pointed out that small businesses in Washington state are hemorrhaging jobs already. We lost nearly 4,000 jobs at small businesses in, I believe it was 2023. And in the 3-year period prior to that, we lost more than 14,000 jobs at small businesses. So Main Street is still trying desperately to recover from the impacts of the pandemic, supply chain disruptions, inavailability of sufficient workforce, and adding a $9.5 billion tax burden on top of an already difficult situation is just going to make it worse. And you're right, there will be small businesses that will pull up stakes and move elsewhere, or simply close the doors and stop offering those products and services and jobs in their communities.
Are you seeing business flight to other states that are deemed more business friendly?
Absolutely. I was on a call just a couple of hours ago with some members of ours, and one of them pointed out that while he has operations in Seattle, Tacoma, Portland, he's really seeing growth in Idaho and Utah, where he has new branches now, because that's where the business growth has gone. We lost a good business in the Seattle area here about 2 years ago that first looked at moving to Eastern Washington and then decided that Idaho was a better destination. The chair of our leadership council is looking at Arizona to relocate her business. So, yes, we are seeing people pulling up stakes from Washington state and moving to where business is welcome.
Yeah, and we've seen that on a variety of things. I mean, there is a flight, like 2A flight, where people, we talked to a business owner who took their gun shop and went to Idaho because they just could not make money here anymore. And so this is going to happen. You have, you know, and it depends on the business, right? How much margin is there in the business? But we've seen so many grocery stores close and things that operate on such a slim margin. And they think that if they hit them with like a 20% increase in B&O taxes, that that's not going to push some businesses over the edge that are still, by the way, recovering from, you know, all the savings and money they had to go through because of Governor Jay Inslee's 975 days of COVID emergency powers where he cost people their livelihoods. And so it's just crazy to me that people will allow, and the media, it's really the media's fault. I hate to be a broken record, but it's the media's fault that they will really allow wholesale Bob Ferguson to blame all these things on Donald Trump and, oh my gosh, tariffs. And they'll go with it. The headlines, tariffs are devastating our economy. And they'll talk about how we're not getting Canadian tourists at the rate we were because Canadians hate Donald Trump. And, you know, they don't want to come here because he said Canada was going to be our 51st state or whatever it is. And then they totally ignore the fact that, you know, maybe it's because of the crime. Maybe it's because Seattle isn't the city it used to be. Maybe it's because it's dangerous to be in downtown Seattle and the drugs and the homelessness and all of these things. No, we can only blame. What did I start the show with today? Gotta find a way to blame the conservatives. Have to find a way to blame the conservatives. That's what Bob Ferguson does. That's what the media does. And then voters just say, oh, well, I guess it is the conservatives' fault. Yeah, well, we might as well keep Democrats in power then. Things are going real well. It's just wild. You can see how it all works together. So yes, talk about tariffs, but you can't ignore $9.5 billion in new taxes. If you want to watch that full interview with Patrick Connor from Sundays with Subscribers, again, with the National Federation of Independent Business, we also talk, by the way, about the crime crisis and how that's been impacting small businesses, which I have a lot to rant over that in a moment. But you can go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com, become a subscriber, and you can catch all of our Sundays with Subscribers interviews and participate in our daily subscriber show polls as well. Can I just rant for a second about small business crime costs? I am so sick of punching in codes to go to the bathroom. I am so sick of punching in codes, make public restrooms great again. I am so sick of having to ping someone at the Target or the CVS every time I want to buy something that costs over $10, like a tooth whitening strip, or God forbid I'm at the QFC and I want some ice cream. I got to shamefully beep, can I get the ice cream? Because they got to lock the ice cream up because the crackheads like how it feels like nice and cold on their teeth or whatever. I'm so sick of it. And that, like, and you can also see how it strangles small businesses out of existence. I mean, I know how much security costs. We have to hire private security sometimes. Now you got these businesses and grocery stores that have no margin, and they have to have two security guards at the front door because they're losing so much to theft. And then, of course, people aren't prosecuted for that theft, so they just keep coming back in and trying again and trying again and trying again. There's no consequences for it. It's just wild stuff. And the fact that people don't see it and they aren't waking up to it, and then they're angry. And then they'll be angry, oh my gosh, now we're in a food desert. The grocery store closed. How dare they? And who do they blame? Oh, the big greedy profit mongers. It's like, no, dude. Where are you getting your information? It is so frustrating. Anyway, same thing on housing policy. We talk all the time about just the disastrous state of it's really expensive to buy a house here. We have all this homelessness. We're spending billions of dollars on affordable housing. But what do we have to show for it? I'm going to be talking about all of those things October 22nd and 23rd at the Engage Conference at the Meidenbauer Center in Bellevue. And so certainly you'll hear me rant and rave a little bit alongside my friend Jonathan Cho, who's been covering the housing crisis from the aspect of homelessness. So please join us for that. If you want to come, sign up at rhawa.org. rhawa.org. They're putting on the convention, and they have a ton of other speakers as well, and politicians who are going to be talking about housing policy. Crime, I'm sure, will also come up as well. While you're there, rhawa.org, make sure you become a subscriber or a member of RHA. If you're a small to mid-sized landlord, they can help you navigate Washington's housing climate and all the new laws, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right, let's get to some national news. This is crazy. So Kash Patel had a congressional hearing that he was part of, and he was talking about, you know, his first, I think, 90 days on the job officially and some of what their focus has been on. And he brought up this online terror cult called 764 that I'd never heard of before. Here's a clip.
Maybe most importantly, under the counterterrorism and domestic terrorism umbrella, are nihilist, violent extremists and those that label themselves 764, who wish to go online and convince children to maim and mutilate themselves and commit suicide. And we are producing record numbers of arrests under that umbrella organization. We even stopped an individual in the 764 network who wanted to conspire to kill an adolescent girl. He is now in custody.
I saw it. I was like, what? And so, oh my gosh, you guys, did I go down the rabbit hole of this online terror cult? And I can't believe it. I do news for a living. I never heard of it. And I knew, and we've had, you know, the federal agents on before talking about a growing problem among youth online where, you know, they'll talk to someone they think is, you know, a boy their age, and then they'll send some sort of suggestive pictures or something like that. And then those will be used as leverage against them. So basically, do this on camera, or we're going to send these pictures out to all of your friends. And it's basically a way to try to get these illicit images of young people that they can spread and sell all over the internet. And so they kind of hold them hostage to that. And it's just a horrible thing. And so this seems to be kind of part of that phenomenon. But I just did a quick search after that, and I kind of felt stupid because there's been a ton of news stories about this. This out of Connecticut: Vernon police arrest teen suspected in threats to several schools, places of worship. The teen is suspected of being involved in a violent online group behind crimes against around the globe. United States Attorney's Office in the District of Columbia. Leaders of 764 arrested and charged for operating global child exploitation enterprise. ABC7, FBI has opened 200 investigations tied to violent online network 764, officials said. There was this picture in there of this Barbie with 764 on the head, and apparently it was a photo released by a police department in Connecticut that was a nude Barbie with a 764 on its forehead taken by a teen victim who was being sextorted and so was being asked to perform these acts on camera holding this Barbie that had 764 written on the head. I mean, this is insane stuff. And I was like, what can we turn this into something, I guess, helpful for parents who might be wondering, what is this? And is my kid going to get wrapped up in it? So the New York Post put out some of FBI's sort of warning signs for parents that maybe there is something happening with their kids or they've been caught up. And it's tough because some of this is just like regular teen crap, right? Where it's like a lot of teenagers might be doing stuff like this. And then other things are certainly more disturbing, but I think any of this behavior, if you notice it in your teens, is something maybe not a tie to this 764 online terror cult, but something to be concerned about. So kids suddenly becoming more withdrawn and moody, expressing suicidal thoughts. Those are like teen things that obviously you wouldn't tie directly to this situation, like sudden changes in eating, sleeping, dressing habits. Here's some other ones, though. Pets being harmed or dying under mysterious circumstances. Kids mutilating themselves by carving words or symbols into their skin. Writing in blood or anything that looks like blood. And then familiarize yourself. And I know this sounds crazy, like, not my kid, but you guys would be shocked. And I've heard this from like the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. You would be shocked at the very regular families whose kids are caught up in some sort of sextortion thing. So just do a quick Google search like I did last night for the 764. Familiarize yourself with the symbols and the logos of it. And like you have, it's just wild. I mean, I hate to have you go down the rabbit hole that I went through last night, but you really should. I can't show 90% of it on the show or on YouTube because we'd get deplatformed. But 764, anything about that, familiarize yourself with the logos. And then obviously, you know, you guys know to be knowing, like if there's changes in what's going on with your kids. But some of this is really, it's horrifying. I mean, they were talking about trying to pressure kids using like these pictures or whatever that they've gotten to get them to go through, like to trans themselves, which is crazy. Ugh. The other thing that's interesting about it is they said there doesn't seem to be any sort of political ideology sort of associated with it necessarily. It says from the New York Post, the FBI has described them as nihilistic. So they just want like everyone to die, a downfall of everything, mm-hmm. seeking to destroy civilized society. Yet their actual ideology seems to be all over the place. Some threat actors may be engaging in criminal activity solely for sexual gratification, social status, or a sense of belonging, or for a mix of other reasons that may be ideologically motivated or may not. And really, when you look at the mugshots of the people they've arrested, it's like young teen boys and maybe boys in their 20s. And I'm not saying adults aren't involved in it as well, but like this is some weird, horrible depths of the internet that these young people get wrapped up in. And then they start to victimize and seek out, you know, young girls, young boys. And once they get those pictures that are sent to them, then it's like they own them. Because in the minds mm-hmm. of a teen, oh my God, I don't want those photos sent out.
Oh yeah.
So now you're stuck and you feel like you have to do all these things. It's horrible.
Power and control.
It is absolutely disgusting.
And that's what they get. So I don't know. I don't know why anyone allows their under 16-year-old child to have a phone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's tough.
I don't know.
It's
Is it though? I mean, I know it is, but is it? I don't know. I mean, I get how you can let them have it so they can communicate from school and stuff, but like shut everything off on it. Only have apps that can communicate with you. I don't know. Is that choice very difficult? I get people get lazy about the choice. I mean, have you seen the new Netflix documentary
yes,
that just came out on
yes,
the catfish and the like
yes.
the person? I guess I don't
It's called
give
Unknown
it away.
Number.
Yeah, Unknown
yeah.
Number.
Yeah, don't give it away. Okay.
Yeah. I won't give away who the catfisher was, but it's disturbing yeah. and it blows my mind that the first reaction from any of those parents wasn't to take
their
phone.
Kids' phones away.
They just yeah. kept allowing them to get these horrible, nasty, ew messages.
That's very true. I didn't really think about that. Like, oh my God, take the phone away.
And they're like, so well, that was one of the questions in the documentary. They said, well, why didn't you just take the phone? They're like, well, all of our friends have a phone. I don't care.
I know, but who are we to preach to parents?
Sorry. Yeah, I'm preaching. Sorry.
But like to parents, we're not.
If the question is, allow your child to read these messages and yeah. be subject to these predators.
Yeah.
And take away a phone and maybe it's a little bit more difficult to get a hold of their friends yeah. like because they have to call you.
Yeah.
That's not a hard choice. It shouldn't be a hard choice.
I'm curious what you guys think about that.
Yeah,
is there a point where
Tell
it actually is really difficult
for saying that? But I know I just asked Daryl the same question. I said, will you allow your child to have a phone? And he said, hell no.
Yeah. Well, we've grown up with phones. We
it's not
know
a hard
the danger
decision.
Of it, right? All right. Something I will get preachy about is these clips about the Charlie Kirk assassin. So it turns out he's got a trans boyfriend. I think it's a boy trying to transition to a girl
Correct.
Living with him. And so certainly that could have motivated his hate for Charlie Kirk or whatever it is. So yesterday, investigators released text messages between the assassin and his trans lover. And I don't feel the need to read them all, but You could tell, by the way, through the text messages that the trans roommate did not know. I really believe that. Did not know that Tyler Robinson was going to do what he was going to do. But the text messages come out, and Matt Gutman with ABC News said this.
Such specific text messages about the alleged murder weapon, where it was hidden, how it was placed, what was on it, but also it was very touching in a way that I think many of us didn't expect. A very intimate portrait into this relationship between the suspect's roommate and the suspect himself, with him repeatedly calling his roommate who is transitioning, calling him my love, and I want to protect you, my love.
Oh, touching. Touching. The assassin of Charlie Kirk. It was this touching glimpse into his romance with his transgender roommate. I was like stunned. Now, I'll get to more on Matt Gutman in a second, but he was not the only one in network news who was trying to turn this into some story of romance. Almost like a Romeo and Juliet. Oh my gosh, torn lovers thing. It's insane. So this is weird. So apparently Montel Williams is now a contributor on CNN, and he was doing Abby Phillips' show. And go ahead.
Talking about a love-torn child, a kid. This is probably his first real relationship, and somebody was disparaging the person that he loved. He sat on that building for 30 minutes before he took the shot. Why did he wait until the first word trans came up? Then he took the shot.
You think he heard it? He could hear it?
I think he could hear it. I think he also, I don't believe he was motivated politically. I think this was motivated emotionally.
Oh, yes. He was protecting his lover. Can you play that again? The first part?
Talking about a love-torn child.
Oh, it's a love-torn child. He's not a child. He's an adult. Love-torn child. Not a child. An adult. Who assassinated someone in cold blood. This is, I mean, honestly, I hate to say it, enemy of the American people. Montel, what happened to you? Enemy of the American people. I just truly, I do believe that now. I just can't imagine spinning something so heinous and trying to create this story about it, about this love, and he's just fighting for his love or whatever it is. Now, to his credit, Matt Gutman has apologized. He took to social media. He said, yesterday I tried to underscore the jarring contrast between this cold-blooded assassination of Charlie Kirk, a man who dedicated his life to public dialogue, and the personal, disturbing text read aloud by the Utah County attorney at a press conference. I deeply regret that my words did not make that clear, but let there be zero doubt here. I unequivocally condemn this horrific crime and the pain it caused Charlie Kirk's family, those who were forced to witness it at UVA, and the millions of people he inspired. So I'm glad that Matt Gutman at least came out and apologized. I don't know if ABC News made him do that, but you know, to focus in on this, oh, tragic love story, it just shows you, I mean, they never would have done it. And I, broken record, never would have done it if this was like, you know, a shooter who went in, and a right-wing militia went into a pulse or whatever it is, and then told this love story. It's just, they have to like minimize, spread blame. It is so predictable at this point. Okay, we'll get to let's do our daily subscriber show poll right now. Is that okay, Nicole? Thanks. I wanted to ask you guys if, like me, am I dumb? I was so blind to this. I asked you on Patreon, Locals and X, prior to this week, had you heard of the violent online network known as 764? Yes or no? I always need to know. Am I just stupid? Should I not even have a show? How did I not know about this? Nicole, yes or no?
You're not just stupid.
Okay. Thank you. I was fishing for a compliment.
But no, I did not know about that one specifically. I did know that there were some out there because I know like the Slender Man killings, and I pay a lot of attention to murder and some of these kids that are like in these weird groups. So I knew there were some online groups like that, but I didn't know about this one specifically.
And that's why, because you and I are very into true crime.
Right.
I mean, I spend a lot of time watching true crime, much to my husband's chagrin. Mm-hmm. Chagrin, is that the right word? Mm-hmm. Much to my husband's frustration. I was like, God, surely if there was this profound of a problem, that there would have been some sort of true crime dateline, whatever it is. And you guys made me feel better, because 99% of you said, no, I have never heard of it.
No.
And it was interesting because Kash Patel just sort of dropped it as this, like, one of many things that they're working on. And I stopped my tracks, like, what are you talking about? What is, they're trying to get, you know, convince kids to mutilate themselves, and it's just wild. So a lot of you said, Junie said, I consider myself pretty well informed. I had never heard of this group until this poll. JESC, never heard of it, but I want to know more so I can be watchful and informed. How many politicians even know about it? So something can be done to shut it down. Sounds like it could be a terrorist organization that may need to be classified as such and dealt with accordingly. And that is, I think, one of the things President Trump was referencing when he talked about some of these groups that they want to crack down on. One of the issues with this one seems to be it's transnational. So you definitely, you have people who are living in other countries who are, you know, extorting these young people and asking them to do all measure of horrific things. So it's just absolutely awful. I'm very curious about, Danielle said, I've only heard about it one time ever, and it was on a TikTok made by a father whose daughter took her life after being highly active on that network. It was an awful, awful, it's an awful, awful network that should not exist. That's interesting, because I'm not on TikTok, and I know TikTok is sort of a different beast on the internet of information, and sort of is more, gets, I think, into the deeper sort of trends on the internet and stuff, but this isn't a trend, it's just a terror organization. Matthew Cook said, if we had a functioning and curious media, perhaps I would have known. Todd Welch said, I'm a cybersecurity professional with a focus on threat intelligence and online exploitation. So yes, I had heard of the 764 network well prior to this week. It is a decentralized global sextortion and child exploitation group. But why is there the necessity for it to be under some sort of moniker, I think is what I want to understand, because sextortion's happening all around the world. So what is the necessity to have to commit acts of sextortion under some sort of moniker? Is there a sharing of the images, something like that, like transnationally? So I want to learn a lot more about it. It's a horrifying thing, but for parents, just one more thing to be concerned about with what's happening with your kids on the internet. All right, this week we debuted our newest Undivided sponsor and partnership, Valentine Roofing. Very happy to be working with them and very grateful for their support of this show. And as always, we encourage our Undivided viewers and listeners to support the businesses that support us. So if you know your roof is on its last legs, don't wait until the heavy rain hits. Valentine will give you a free roof assessment. And here's the best part. If your roof can be repaired, they're not going to try to push you into a new one. They'll just repair your roof for you. And if you already know that you need a new roof and maybe you have a leak, they will fix that leak so there's no further damage immediately. So put you at ease, and then they'll replace the roof. They even have zero down financing for most projects, so you can get the work done now and pay over time, which of course, that's one of the concerns. When you get a new roof, it's a big cost. No homeowner wants to have to replace their roof, but that's just the reality of it. So being able to have zero down and paying over time, I think, is great. And by the way, they do more than just roofing. If you need new siding, gutters, attic insulation, exterior cleaning, you can expect the same great service. So schedule your free estimate by calling 206-ROOFING. Again, call 206-ROOFING, and please, please tell them that you heard about them on Undivided. So one of our newest great business sponsors that support our work. Also, we're longtime sponsors of our friend Dory Monson. It means a lot to us that they would come over and support our show. Okay, let's get to some comments from the stream today, and then I have a little housekeeping for you guys before we close today, so please stick around. All right, on the media blaming conservatives for literally everything. They're testing me, man. They're testing my patience. Two Ladies Midwest Adventures. Brandy and Nicole, it's all my fault. I'm supporting you all, LMAO. Keep up the great work. We know you're getting them worried. The more they are mad at us, I really do feel that Democrats don't understand the dangerous position they're taking supporting these extremist groups. It will destroy the Democratic Party. And what will come is worse. Bolt Up gave me some money for my legal defense fund. Thank you. Yes, we did have to spend. It wasn't that bad. It's a few. It wasn't terrible, but it was worth the cost of fighting for our honor and our dignity. I'm sorry I didn't update you guys on that. Yeah, it was pretty quick. Sent them the cease and desist. They sent back, said, okay, we'll make these changes to the article. Is that acceptable? We said yes. And then we all moved on with our lives. Can't let them get away with it, though. Greg Olakis, the Kent School District doesn't work for its own values. It is supposed to work for the parents and students in the district's values. The people forget they work for the taxpayer, not themselves. And why do we even have to have a conversation about values? You know what I mean? It's like, just teach kids academics. If you weren't so eager and interested in inserting your ideology into public schools, we wouldn't have to have a conversation about ethics. Because again, or about values. I'm fine with if you say like, hey, no, we're lowering flags at half staff and we're not going to make independent decisions. If the president says do it, we're doing it. If the governor says do it, we're doing it. And then you take out any sort of personal, you know, beliefs and values out of the equation, and you just operate as a government entity. Flag up, flag down, flag up, flag down. And that's all you should do. You shouldn't be making these decisions on an island, because it just opens up opportunities for people to criticize you for raising the flag or not raising the flag, lowering the flag or not lowering the flag. And it's just really too much. Why do they want this? Why do school districts invite this controversy upon themselves?
Well, I think it's this very selfish mentality where everybody wants to and like needs to get their opinions on everybody else. You have to inflict your opinions on everybody else.
I have to make this point, and then I'm going to put this long statement about how this is about our values. On the Tacoma teacher who hates white people, I don't know if you guys were as stunned about that as I was. I mean, we know teachers say crazy stuff. That's bold. That is bold. Matthew Cook, I'm reminded of the Norm Macdonald joke about a nuclear device going off killing people and worrying about Muslim backlash, but YouTube won't let me print it. Maybe you could look it up, Brandy, so I can read. I'm not familiar with that joke. Maybe I am, but Matthew says he can't write it out, so I have to search it. Okay. Moon Goddess, $2 super chat. This is why schools need the 3D response system. I don't know what that is. I will have to. Do you know what that is?
3D response system?
Last year, the DSA stated they want to infuse a race war in the United States. Yeah, they are infusing a race war. I don't know what the 3D response system is, but I shall Google it. Ramona Lynn, he's promoting hate, this assistant principal, encouraging it even. Imagine if that child who allowed that garbage to fuel the bad feeling into action. That man should not be allowed to be around impressionable youth. Yeah, what if a young white kid saw that and was angry at this teacher and decided to do something about it? I mean, you know, it's like you can't be accountable for what people do with your words all the time, but this is an educator. There should be a higher standard there. And you can't just be openly racist. They would never allow it if it was a white teacher, nor should they. So why would you ever be okay with a black teacher saying, we have a white boy problem, or whatever he said, in America? It is truly just too much for me.
It looks like it's just a three-prong system of, like, making sure your kids' mental health, along with like actual security in the building, and
yeah,
so it's a just
to try to prevent
yeah, school shootings.
Shannon Hutton, so I'm on the phone with the Tacoma School District right now. They are sending me up to the security department because the admin of the district did not know about this. They know about it. The admin of the district, Shannon says she called, and the district is saying they didn't know about this.
Oh, that's not true.
They 100% know
about
it.
It's been out for a couple of days. That was a few days ago,
and it's been on Libs of TikTok, mm-hmm. and also. The story about his rap about shooting up a school was from 2018, and it was in the news.
They definitely
knew
about that.
So they know about that. So they're lying to you, Shannon, but I love that you're calling over there. You demand answers, 100%. And do we have any Tacoma School District parents? Will you get in the chat and let us know if we have any Tacoma School District parents? Let's see. On the school district proposing Charlie Kirk Day, I'm so interested to see if people agree with me or with Nicole. Usually they side with you. And I kind of am hurt by it, but I don't know if I'm just not likable and you are. I don't know what it is. Baron of Gray Matter. Sorry, Brandy. Your whataboutism is pathetic. The left has lost the privilege of my tolerance. No more. We no longer care what they think. All right. So I'm pathetic. Casey Steele. So why would it be any different than Martin Luther King? We celebrate a black man. Why can't we celebrate Charlie Kirk? And I understand. I think that Martin Luther King Day was formed at a much less divisive time in America. And we're not going to go back and sort of undo that. So I get it. I get it. Mark Raftus. I agree with you, Brandy. 100%. We should have Freedom of Speech Day. Yeah. Free Speech Day. Don't make it about Charlie Kirk. Make it about everyone. Free Speech Day. I like that. That's better than whatever the name I came up with.
Healthy Debate Day. Every kid would jump on that opportunity.
Oh, my God. Kayla, question for Nicole. Do you believe Charlie Kirk would want to have a Charlie Kirk Day if it could alienate some from the debate by the name of the intent alone? I'm not sure he would agree. On a personal level, I agree with Brandy on this one. So her question for you, Nicole, is do you think Charlie Kirk would want a Charlie Kirk Day if he knew it would alienate some people from participating?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I can't speak for him. However, I think anything that helps encourage debate, he would approve of.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Miranda said, yes, I put in my own comment. Selfless. Selfish. It should be a, what was the word I was looking for there? Shameless. Shameless, Miranda.
Shameless.
It should be a free speech day in honor of Charlie Kirk and not Charlie Kirk Day in honor of free speech. 100%. I think that's pretty good. That's a good comment of your own to put in, Miranda. Notorious judge striking again. Wayne Ellison, does activist and judge even go together? Judging people can't be unethical. Yeah, it shouldn't go together. You shouldn't be able to be an activist judge. Yet, here we are. Can small businesses survive in Washington? Old Sub Sailor says, Comrade Ferguson has a new excuse to raise taxes, the tariffs. It's always Trump's fault with him, deflection at its finest. And I do think, and I want you guys to be all very aware of this. Sorry, I'm pruning so much. I always get people saying, stop pruning, Brandy.
Never. You are pruning a lot. I was just texting.
I'll never stop pruning.
Go ahead.
I want you all to be aware. I'll put my hands right here. I'm putting my hands right here. No, I'm not touching my hair. I'm not pruning. You know, I have a lot of long, beautiful hair. So what can I do? I think Bob Ferguson is setting the stage for more tax increases. And so he is going to make a big deal out of anything Donald Trump does that's going to keep money from the state, cost money from the state, because he's gearing up to blame Trump for the next round of tax increases. So we all need to be prepared for that. Were you going
to
say something?
So I was texting with Daryl because I wanted to, when we were warning parents about things that they should be on the lookout for. Yeah. So there's a game that kids are playing that's called Roblox. Have you seen that? It's like with the little, they're like Lego people. Mm-mm. Right? It's a like Lego people game. Anyway, that game is actually, Daryl and I were talking about it this morning, because that game is actually shared the Charlie Kirk like shooting video, mm-hmm. more than anything else, more than any social media, more than anything. So that the kids that are playing this very cartoonish game are seeing the Charlie Kirk murder more than what? Anyone else. Yeah. So just parents out
That's
there that
weird.
Are seeing this Roblox, like you just think it's a cartoony, Lego-y game that kids can play online.
And they can just share videos on there with each other?
Yeah. And they've shared that Charlie Kirk video more than any other social media platform.
That's very strange.
It's very scary.
Good heads up.
Yeah.
On ABC, glorifying assassin as romantic, and CNN, PO4G7AV, how do we know that wasn't all a script to divert attention away from this person? Like the text message was a, and it could be, like the roommate knew about it and, you know, it was like, I'm going to do this, so you're off the hook. I get it. It just didn't read that way to me, but I'm not an investigator. So that's a good point. I shouldn't assume. Observer 777, Montel dated Kamala Harris. Yeah. They did. In 2001, there's pictures of it.
I know.
And he had to introduce her as like his girlfriend, and she was sort of like his arm candy, and then
there
she was
like
a candidate for president.
More girls with him.
Yeah,
it was very
sort
weird.
Of a posse mm-hmm. situation. Yes, that's true. All right, let's fit in one more super chat. Yes, is that your screen name? $5 super chat. Did you hear about Katie Wilson using a fake endorsement from a black progressive? Photoshopped him out of a pic with Bruce Harrell. Pretty funny. We did. Our friend Jonathan Cho broke this story about Katie Wilson, who's the further left candidate running against Bruce Harrell for Seattle mayor. She said she had this endorsement from this guy who like marched with MLK Jr. or something like that. And then he told Jonathan Cho that he never endorsed her. And the picture she used in the endorsement was a picture of him with Bruce Harrell, and Bruce Harrell cropped out.
Photoshopped.
And yeah, we didn't mm-hmm. do it only because she provided an email to someone that seemed to suggest he had endorsed her, but he says that was not an endorsement, provided emails asking her to take it down. So it all just seemed like we couldn't prove definitively
what happened.
I mean, you
could prove that the Photoshop was quite clearly
a
picture of him and Bruce Harrell.
100%, yes.
Bruce Harrell chopped off. So it was definitely a weird story.
It was.
And does not look good for Katie, but
no. We just weren't sure what to do with
it,
so we had heard about
story.
It yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going extra long today on a
I
day
know.
Where I'm sorry
not,
I'm sorry
not good
I,
for
know,
you
to, I know
you got places to be
I got places to be so we'll get to our closing sanity check, which is a good
Wait,
one today.
Yeah,
what
can we have one more sponsor?
Well, yeah, I was about to read it.
Oh,
I said
I
in
you were
a
calling
second
for it. Sorry.
Man, here I am. All right, so a lot going on globally. Trade deals affecting the global economy, uncertainty of AI, which is big right now. In fact, I think Trump he's at a palace I just visited, Windsor Castle. They're going to talk a little
missed
bit about
him.
AI and stuff. I know, I just missed him. So with all this going on, are you concerned about how much risk your retirement portfolio is exposed to? Is it time to get back to basics? Join Bulwark Capital Zach Abraham for his Back to Basics live webinar. It's happening October 2nd, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. The webinar is going to be a frank discussion on the basic fundamentals of value investing, a perspective on the outlook for the remainder of 2025, plus a full reveal of how Bulwark is always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So hear directly from Zach back as he shares insights in this free Back to Basics webinar, October 2nd, 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time. Register right now, knowyourriskpodcast.com. That's knowyourriskpodcast.com. Okay, antsy pantsy, now let's get to our closing. Sanity check. I was testing you. You passed. All right. So, of course, you know, after what happened to Charlie Kirk, you know, there's a lot of politicians who are out there encouraging a lowering of the political temperature in this country. And one of them is California Governor Gavin Newsom, who had this press conference announcing this project that they're undertaking, which I think is a good one, by the way, to help take care of boys and men. It's actually something we've talked about on this show. Like, boys are not doing well in America. You know, they're online, they're feeling like they're technically socially isolated. They're getting involved in all of these things. And he, at this press conference, said basically, like, we need to do more, all of us, really, to help people, lift people up, not put people down, lower the temperature, and even reference Charlie Kirk.
People don't feel seen. They don't feel heard. They feel increasingly isolated. They feel increasingly alone. We have an epidemic of loneliness. And so much of that is manifesting and metastasizing online in very profound and consequential ways. And last week only underscored that further.
Yeah, stuff that's happening online, it's just encouraging people to do bad things, like what happened to Charlie Kirk. Let's check in on what Gavin Newsom was doing online a couple weeks ago.
I'm sorry, I know some people's sensibilities. I respect and appreciate that. But right now, with all due respect, we're walking down a damn different path. We're fighting fire with fire, and we're going to punch these sons of bitches in the mouth.
Yeah, really good. Lowering the political temperature, Gavin Newsom. Thank you. I'm sure those young boys that you're trying to help are going to learn a lot from you. All right, that has been our closing sanity check. One quick housekeeping note. Our show, our live show, is going to start 1 hour early tomorrow. So I will put out a notice across all of our platforms, 1 hour early, 11 a.m. to accommodate some travel that I have. So 11 a.m. We're still doing a show, not canceling it, but we'll see you at 11 a.m. Don't worry. I'll give you all the notices and warnings, but starting to change things. I know no one likes change. So move your lunch hour up an hour early. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. We do appreciate all of you. We do indeed appreciate all of you. We have a special appreciation, however, for our paid subscribers because they help make this show possible. So go to undividedpod.com. It's just $5 a month. $5 a month, which, you know, I get it. $5 a month, hard-earned money. I appreciate it. I want to undersell it. But, you know, if you want to support independent news media that's not out there poisoning the soul of America, $5 is a small price to pay. UndividedPod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. See you back here on the live show tomorrow. What time? What time, Nicole?
11 a.m.
Just making sure you were listening. I know sometimes you like to tune me out.
Never.
11 a.m. Okay. See you then.